Okay, Tuesday night, the first of the Shoivavim series of Tovshin Samaches. Since it's said on the paper, Hashbafa and Hachaka, so we'll start with that. The Isser Bia of Nida. Isra is an interesting Isser vis-a-vis all the other Arayos. First of all, it's clear from it's associated with her Tumah. It's like, is that coincidence? Like she's Tamei, and she goes to the Mikvah and she becomes Tor, just like other Tameim. And the Torah talks about it as Tumah, and she's Matamei Tahoro, she's Matamei everything, Matamei Mishka B'Moshav. It's a very severe Tumah. And any time she's Tamei, she's Osir. Like the Yoledes is Tamei, and she becomes Osir as an eagle's Osir. And a Zava becomes Tamei. And so like this is this association between Tumah Batara and the Isser Bia, which obviously the other Arayos don't have. Maybe Soita, there's a Lashon of also of Acharei Sheru Tamah. Tumah Ksiba Karayas, if anyone here is familiar with Maseches Yevamos, the first parak, by Saita also there's such an association, but that's really more of a spiritual concept. Here you're talking Tumah, you know, like Tamei Meis, she touches something, it becomes Tor. You think the Harchatos now either drive you crazy or did when you started them. Imagine when we're Makbid on Tumah V'Toros and you have to keep Cheshbon of the chair she sat on, because that's a Av HaTumah. And like, whoa, you know what it is? You have avatumas all over your house and you have to be me after the chifa, and all of a sudden you can't touch anything she touches, or else you become tummy. You can be metami truma, you can be metami, you know. Anyway, but we're focusing obviously on the Isser Bia, which is associated with tumah. That's a point that we have to understand. Another point is, and again I take you back to Yevamos Daf Beis Amud Aleph, is Tosfos and Beis Amud Aleph wants to know if an Isha is a Nida when she's Noifel Liyibum. So obviously at that point in time she's Osir B'Yibum, she's Kares, and then I'll say Derechel Esasa Sheish B'Kares. But yet, if you're familiar with Yevamos, you know that if at the point of time that she falls to Yibum, she can't be Nisyabim, so she's Potter forever. So Tosfos wants to know, every time a woman falls to Yibum, if she's a Nida at that point in time, why doesn't that din kick in? She's never in the Siyabim again. And Tosfos assumes that's certainly not the case. So Tosfos says, he uses words, it's different. It's almost as if Tosfos is saying, Nida's not an Erev. Nida's not. Arayas is usher to whoever you are Karov to. Abul Nida la kol asir. That's what Tosfos says. Nida is a universalist, so she's also to everybody. It's not like a kurva. That's what Tosfos says. So, the Higayon and Tosfos is trying to tell us something. Obviously, we can't to paraphrase Maharsha Shiva. When we're holding by Yevamos, we'll explain it fully. Secure in the knowledge that we'll never be holding Yevamos. He used to say, you know, when we give Shira Machulin, we'll explain it more fully. He used to say. Anyway, so there's something about Nida that she's not really like the other Arayos, even though Bia's Kares. But because she's also to everybody. Like, okay. One more Gemara, that really with the rules of Kiddushin being Typhus, Kiddushin shouldn't be Typhus in a Nida. And according to Shitas Rashi in Yevamos, the raya that Kiddushin is Typhus in a Yevama is that Rashi holds that if a woman becomes an Erva after you are Makadisha, so the Kiddushin is Paka, without a get. It's Paka, just like it can't be Typhus, so it's also Paka. That's Rashi Shita. So Rashi says, obviously, Anida, Kiddushin has to be Typhus. Otherwise, everyone's kiddushin would be paka when she became an eagle. So it's not so clear in the sugi that Rashi Tosfos. It's a complicated sugi. Yevamos around that above or something. So whether it's a pasuk But the idea is that Amida, again, is different than all Arayas, right? She's still your wife. It doesn't affect the Kiddushin. You could be Makabit. There's no reason why, just because Bia with her is an Issa Kores, but with the Tzad HaShava, the common denominator of the three Mayer Mekhoimus I gave you, is that although Bia with Anida is Usur and Issa Kores, but there's a fundamental difference between it and the other Arayos, when Bia's Bakares, then Kiddushin's not Toifus, right? There's that association. She's not a Chetz of Ishus. She's not someone that Ishus would be Chalon, right? That's what we say. You can learn Shari Yosher Rav Shimon, who discusses exactly what's the cause and what's the effect, and how that affects Mamzerus, etc., etc., exactly like the flow chart of cause and effect. But that's in Shari Yosha. But certainly we see it's different. I mean, without delving into all the intricacies and all the subtleties, we certainly see that it's different. And again, we see an association with Tumah, that it's associated with Tumah, like not spiritual Tumah. Tumah, she touches something, it becomes Tumah. So what this says, I would like to suggest, is that really the chibur? But what are you saying? You're saying you can't go into the Beis Hamikdash when you're tummy. You know, there's a certain chibur that's going on when you enter the Beis Hamikdash. It's a makom kadosh. You know, we don't care if you're tummy and you walk around in the street. Well, we don't care. You go into the Beis Hamikdash, there's something special going on. You're entering a makom kadosh and you're bonding with Hashem, and Hashem doesn't want that to happen. But tumah. You know, that's this. However you can understand Tumah, but it's certainly a negative spiritual force. I mean, that could safely be said without any explanation. Whatever Tumah is or isn't, and if we can understand it or not, but it's a negative spiritual force. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you are familiar at all with Taharos, and if you're not, you can speak to Mordechai Bernstein, who I see us here, who is now our resident expert in Taharos. So I think we're all familiar that the more kadosh something is, the more it's makabel tuma, right? Sheini, Shlishi, Revi, Chulin, Truma, Kachim. Because the more kadosh it is, the more spiritual it is. So the negative spiritual forces affect it negatively, and that's no good, and we don't want that. You can't go into the Beis Hamikdash. You can walk into a house when you're tummy, but you're not walking into the Beis Hamikdash when you're tummy. So the Isser Nida is indeed that it's mamish like going into the Beis Hamikdash when you're tummy. In other words, there's a chibur going on that's not the way it's It's reserved for Ishus. You know, nowadays, I think the people here are familiar with the Goyish world. It's like almost a joke to associate the Tafka with Ishus. But in Halacha, in the Torah Hashkafa, it's something that inherently is an act of Ishus. It's not an act of pleasure, of achila. It's not just something you do, you know? It's not just something you do, except, oh, the Torah built up Isurim and this, so you know, it ends up I can only do it when I'm married. That's not the pshat. The pshat is it's inherently something that's ishus. It's a chibur of zohar and a keva that takes us back to the tchilas habriya, the ideal state when zohar and a keva bra'om, when the zohar and a keva were one unit. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, depending on the shittas in the Gemara, although the machshava, or it was like that, and he split them off. But that's for sure that the ideal state of the bria has a zachar and a nekeva and a chubar. It's one bria. It's not two brias, and that's an idea only in ishus. It's for ishto. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not borei zachar and nekeva and say, okay, you guys get together and you're going to form one unit. It's ish for ishto. That's the unit. So bria is essentially inherently a very spiritual act. It's a spiritual force. You see in the Rishonim, the Raivin, the Ramban, the way they talk about it, it's extremely kadosh, it's extremely kadosh, and therefore when you're tamei, so you can tamei. So it's taka a result of tumah. If there's a tumah there, so you can't go into the Beis Hamikdash when you're tamei. You can't eat kasha when you're tamei. So you can't have beer when an ish is tamei, because it's the chibur is a spiritual one, a kadosh one, a hearkening back to the shleimus habriya, I would suggest, and therefore. No, when there's negative spiritual forces around, can't do it. Hashem doesn't want it to happen with a negative spiritual force. We don't want it. We want it only in its the way it's supposed to be. We want it when it's pure. We want it when it's good. We want it when there's only positive spiritual forces around. And therefore, it's taka. It's an isser. It's not like the other arayos is. You know, the other arayas says that this woman is not fit for ishus. This would be with other arayas is you can't create a chibur with such a woman. Like the whole chibur is treif. So kedushin is not teifus. The kedushin is not teifus, and there's nesra. She can't be a yavama then. So she's not a heftz of yibum. You would say she's not an object of yibum. Neither is like an isser. You know, like you're not allowed to eat chalev. You know, Caleb, it's a nidol akoyla, see what Tyson says. This is a general idea that she's still worthy of ishus, the woman, when she's tomei, so you can't create the chibur b'koya. Just like you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're tomei. But that doesn't passel the whole Beis HaMikdash, right? It doesn't make the Beis HaMikdash into a place you can't go into. So the other kroivim, which are arayas, Bia being usher is a reflection on the woman that you can't. She's not an object to form such a people with. She's not an isha. She's not the kedushin. She's not teifish. She's not an isha that you could hook up with and hearken back to sheishis and may gracious. You know, the crazy. She's not fit for that. But anita, it's like stomach. Something like it's an isha because she's tamei now. It's not her. There's a tumah there. The tumah doesn't allow. Hashem doesn't want you going into the Beis HaMikdash when you're tamei. So that really would explain, it's the beginning of an explanation of the Maamar Kindness that I talked about. It's important to speak out of Shamshon Ufal Hirsch's perspective too, which is maybe well known, and that is that you have to make sure the Torah wants us to form two relationships with our wives. They want a wife, the Torah wants our wives to be our wives. Ishus, Zachor, Keva, Chibur. And it also wants our wives to be our best friend. Shamshon Ufal Hirsch says, like a sister. Okay? But I mean, your best friend. Your best friend has to be a wife. So it's very hard to develop a friend, a best friend. If you know the Goyish, you know what's going on in the world. Platonic relationships between a man and a woman are very nice in theory, but they never stay platonic. Right? They always end up with all kinds of sexual overtones, and it's a mess. It always becomes a mess. And I mean, there's guys out there that want to know why they can't be friends with a girl. You know, why can't we just be friends? So it starts off like that, but maybe a week will go by, maybe a month. But it doesn't end up. That's the nature of the Zachor and the Keva relationship. But the Torah actually, in its wisdom, wants you to be your wife's friend. And it has to create a period when she's going to be usher to you. This is what Shamshon Ufal Hirsch I'm saying over now. It's like in its wisdom, in its infinite wisdom, the Torah said there's going to be a time when you're going to have to just relate to her as a good friend. It's going to be a platonic relationship. You're going to become her friend. And she's going to be your friend. Because there's not much you can do together in the other realm. And it's off limits. And so that's what comes from Persia's perspective on the Issanid the Bechlar. So we said here two ideas. The Tumor going into the Beis HaMikdash from the idea. And Shamshon Ufal Hirsch's idea of developing a friendship with your wife as well. So that's Nida Bechlar. That's the Isser, which we're not going to be spending any more time on. Because Hilchos Nidah doesn't spend much time on that, right? So today is, we're going to start the Harchakos. And, you know, we're used to the Harchakos already, or we should be. And, you know, actually, maybe not. It depends, you know, Ibur, okay, whatever. But we're used to the idea already. And I think of it like Shabbos. Like, it's probably the heaviest laden field with drabonans on top of drabonans, and like, and just like the whole Tzura of Shabbos really has, the Tzura of Shabbos is thanks to the drabonans and thanks to all the shvusim, thanks to the shvusim and thanks to the all the yisurim drabonon muktza, the yisur mekachumemkar and the yisur of tircha b'Shabbos tircha yisayrta, right? So all that really creates. You know, the Torah is, after all is said and done, the Torah is a legal system. And you have to take over. The Chavis Halvava says in the Sharavot of Salah Kim, you know, the Torah is just the first step. You can be a tzaddik and keep the whole Torah, and you've taken only one step in Avodas Hashem. If you don't take it further, what does it mean to me? What does that do to me? How does it make me a better person, a better Jew? How does that affect my relationship with Hashem? If you don't go to that next step, so you did it all and you're great, you know, you won't be right up again. But you know, it's like kid stuff. That's what Baba says. You took a baby step. So Shabbos, you know. So think of it, you know, the Torah. So I'm saying, when you come down to it, the Torah is just a legal system, and you can keep all the rules. And if you have none of the neshama of the Torah, none of the Chavos Halvavos, so it's like an empty shell, really, so to speak. It's an empty shell that you made empty. You know, you're relating to it like an empty shell. You're seeing only an empty shell. You know, that's what you are having from it. So and if you think of it, much of Shabbos is the Rabbanans. That's what creates the Tzura of Shabbos, the way it looks, the way it feels, the way, you know, you want to bond with Hashem, nice and gracious. So, really, if you think of Rav Shamshon Nefal Hirsch's point, so really, I think of the Harchakos. Okay, we're focusing today on the Harchakos. We're starting. Mitzvah Hashem will finish next week. The Harchakos really do that too. The Harchakos really create. That's point one of the Harchakos. In other words, if you think of Rav Shamshon Nefal Hirsch's concept of what the state of Nida is supposed to create in terms of your relationship, in terms of the tzura of the household. So that's why, so you need the Rabbanans, you know, just the Isser Bia is not really going to do it. It's just, you know, so the Rabbanans have that effect. I think of it like Hilchos Shabbos, just as the Rabbanans create the whole tzura of Shabbos. So really, from the perspective of Rav Shamshon Nefal Hirsch's perspective, from the perspective of what he's trying to say, that we create a certain relationship between you and your wife. Certainly the Harchakos, as onerous as it may be at times, or maybe sometimes it seems childish to us, or far-fetched, maybe, but certainly it was very nitpicky. Certainly it creates that aura, that atmosphere that we're trying to create. That's number one. Second point about the Harchakos is that, and this is a klal in a lot of things Chazal say, that, you know, Chazal were very, not just smart, but Chazal, when they made takonas and the rabbonos, they looked at history, they looked at the whole history. They didn't look, you know, we look at something and say, well, if I hand something to my wife, I'm not going to go be boiled, you know, so like, what? But Chazal are looking at the whole Klal Yisrael, and they're looking at 2,000 years. You know, they're looking at history, and they're looking at Klal Yisrael. They're not looking at me next week. They have the Achrayas, and that's a Gadol or Chazal, certainly, right, by definition, are supposed to have that broad perspective, because they have more on their shoulders than just, you know, I'm a guy, you know, my personal life. They're looking at Klal Yisrael, like they're looking at history. So you can be sure that if in year one Reuven handed something to Leah, his wife, by the year 250, right, all the Gedarim are going to break down. That's the pshat. So sometimes when it seems nitpicky and kind of silly, perhaps, you have to realize that you're talking about over a thousand, think of where things would end up over 1,000 years of millions of people having to keep these halachas. So, you know, I'm okay next week. But that's not going to happen over a period of a long period of time over a lot of people. And when Chazal make takanos, it's with that in mind. That's number two. Number three is that it certainly is a constant, that chakas are also a constant reminder. Besides, they're a geder, that's what they are, b'muhus. And besides the fact that they're there to prevent, they're not just preventative. By being preventative, they're also a constant reminder. So you're always aware. So you're not forgetful, you're always aware, and therefore you could be more zohir. So it also serves as a reminder. Point four is a Rabbeinu Yoim and Shari Tshuva that I said in the shul a year ago, maybe a little more. And Rabbeinu Yoim is talking about addressing the Chazal statement in various places that the Rabbanans are more choshev than the Oraisas. They don't use the word more choshev, they say it in various ways. It's more chavid, it's more chamur, kolav rabbi rechachamim chayiv misa. And so they're like, what's going on? Right? And in the Oraisa, you have the Yerushalmi Brachos actually makes the following point. In the Oraisa, you have an Aseh, and a Los Aseh, and a Los Aseh Sheish Bol Kares. But in the Rabbanan, like, kolav rabbi rechachamim chayiv misa. What's that all about? Give me some space. Like, you know, why not have the Dargis? So Ben Yonah says that, Ben Yonah Shari Tshuva says that the purpose of the mitzvahs and the totality of our keeping Torah and this, he says he's supposed to end up in Yiras Shemayim. Yiras Hashem, that's what it's supposed to do to us. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. And that's it. That's what you're supposed to, and that's the beginning and that's the end. So he says, so that's the laws of the Torah are supposed to bring you to it, but the Rabbanans are Yiras Hashem. The Gezeros and saying, you know, don't do this because it might lead to that, don't do that because it might do this, they are pure expressions of Yiras Hashem. So if you do it, if you're either a D'Oraisa, so you know, you're a Nichol, you're this, you're that, you know, whatever. But if you're over Drabbanan, he says, you're directly violating violating something that was put there as an expression of Yiras Hashem, purely. I'm doing this because I'm afraid. So he says, yeah, if you're mezalzel in that, so you're really saying that you're not holding there, you're not holding by Yiras Hashem, you're mezalzel, you're late sonos, it's okay, you're not afraid, you're not expressing that era. So that's also the importance and the chashivas of the harfakos. That's point four. Point five is just divrei chizuk. You know, a lot of times I wonder, what's going to be when there's a mikdash is here? Like, how can you be so zohir if you learn chagiga, you learn mishnayos taros with people walking around, and these guys are walking on this side of the street, and these guys are walking on that side of the street. And if you talk to a guy and he like shakes your head, not personal, but are you a Zohar? Like, I don't know what life is like. It's very, very hard to imagine. And you know, and you get chizuk from Hilchos Nida, really is something that I'm sure a not from person says, you can't what? Like, you're kidding me, right? Like, but you know, it becomes, like I said, the Shabbos also, as I've said this many times, you know, you can't put on a light and you go to the bathroom, you get special Shabbos toilet paper. But you know, and then it just becomes part of life, and it's very easy. And certainly we believe that Munah Shleima, that's something that the Eibishter decreed for us, and the Rabbanans, which are part of the Torah system, we can like slide into it. Maybe it takes a little getting used to, okay. But then afterward, you can slide into it. It's really no big deal. So when you first learn, you get, what happens if I need the car keys? But yeah, it's not so terrible. So Mestoma, it gives me chizuk with all the carbonals around and all the truma around. And you have to all of a sudden be careful about Mishka and Moshe and Zov and Zovah. and big days of Tamei and the Medrash. You learn the things, like, it's almost unimaginable how you can get along in life. But then you say, you know, it used to be unimaginable to be how you can manage with your wife's Anita half the time. Like, it's also unmanageable. So it is manageable, Baruch Hashem, and therefore this will also be manageable. So I could look forward to the Beis HaMikdash Meir B'Meinu Amen again. I look forward to it.
It's like okay. Kedushas Shvius.
What?
It's like Kedushas Shvius, you said also.
Yeah, I said the same thing.
It takes time to get used to it.
I get very touched whenever anybody remembers anything I've ever said. It's very easy to make me your friend. You get a credit of 30 hetayim. Another point, it's not a point, and that is that many of the harchakos are incredibly romantic. It's romantic. It really is a reflection of what married life is supposed to be. Because if we're going to be learning that, you know, you can't make your bed under certain circumstances, and serving food and just like eating together, right? It's a very romantic experience. It's not just, okay, it's 2 o'clock, we are both going to eat lunch now because it fits with both of our schedules. And that is how it is most of the time, at least in my house. but it's really not like that. It's not supposed to be like that. Eating together is a sharing that a couple is supposed to do. And when the wife serves the husband food, she's not just being his waitress. If she would be his waitress, it wouldn't be usher, right? Wouldn't be usher to be his waitress during Yemei Dosa. And if Chazal are saying, it's very romantic. If Chazal are saying, serving you is something that's intimate. She's not just your waitress now, she's your wife, and she's being magish the food that she prepared for you. Like, here it is. And eating together is a bonding experience. That's all you have to say. And it's such a bonding experience that Chazal asked it. You can't eat together, so you have to make the harkonos. Which we'll be learning about how to make a nikar and how to make a reminder, because it's really very, just to touch. I mean, the goyim they've cheapened beer itself, they've cheapened. But certainly touching, right, that's already, I don't know when it happened behind my back. Shoyman Agiyah became like a zach, right? So we've cheapened touching, right? She wrote an excellent book, what's her name, no? Yeah, right. An excellent book that we've cheapened what touching is. Touching is very powerful. It's very powerful. And serving him is powerful, and making his bed is not. These are all things that create intimacy, and then you go through married life, and you're supposed to be bonding with your wife more and more. And it's very simple things that do it, and that's what it is. So Hilchos Nida teaches us that also. Hilchos Nida teaches us. I mean, you see, Hilchos, the harchakos are only benishlo ishto, right? The harchakos are not by other arroyos. It's with your wife, because this, you're allowed to eat with an erva. It may not be advisable at times, but it's never usur. Usur technically, objectively usur. So, you know, but with your wife, it's an intimate experience. So Chazal had to ask her. Okay, that's another point. Now, we're going to start to go through some of the harchakos today. And we'll see. Maybe I'll run out of material that I prepared for today's year, or maybe we'll run out of time. One or the other. Okay, we'll start with physical contact. That's the physical contact. Obia is also Mdirais, and that's Kares. Chibuk Venishuk is also Medio Raisa, according to most, Medio Raisa. And you have to realize that many times, even touching, there's always derechiba. With a man and wife, there's always an inherent derechiba. So there are exceptions, which we'll be learning about. And it's a problem, when you like a doctor, you know, so even though touching or chibuk, which is really, any touching could possibly be a conceptual chibuk, so there's a theorem of not derechiba, but with a man and wife, it's very hard, almost impossible, halachically, to be koveya something is not derech hiba with any touching, and therefore any touching is very possibly under most circumstances and this is the araisa, and this is the araisa of chibuk venisha, because it's derech hiba, and that's also the araisa. So Chazal came along and said, you can't, so certainly you can't, no physical contact, you can't even touch each other through a garment. There is a makam kula which would come up if one of them is sick, right? One of them is sick and maybe even in the hospital or at home, and you know, you just have to, the circumstances require some form of physical aid. And we'll be learning about that. There's a difference which is the one that's sick, the woman or the man. But then what crops up in halacha is maybe a kula if there's a beged being mafsik. That's the rare exception. I'm speaking it out because it is like one notch lower. But certainly, but Chazal did aser that also to touch each other through a garment, whether it's gloves or any garment. Okay, you're even not supposed to touch a garment that the other one is wearing. You're not supposed to touch a garment that the other one is wearing at the time. Some even take it a step further and hold that their garments that they're wearing shouldn't touch each other. You're wearing a coat, they shouldn't touch. These are things you would be nizer if you're right, if you're sitting together, which we'll be learning about shortly. You also shouldn't touch, this is already, this is a notch lower, I'll call this a chumrah, that's pretty, in the interest of honesty, I'll call it a chumrah, but it's pretty much the norm, that you don't touch what the other one is holding. You don't touch what the other one is holding. That is very nagar with a child, right? Because that means if one of them is holding a child, and you want to give the child the pacifier, so it's a problem. It's a problem. It's not kosher at all that you can do it. You probably cannot. You should not do it. You should not do it. In the olden days, there was a thing called a phone wire. Like a wire, a coil, a phone. No, nobody knows what I'm talking about. You know what a rotary phone is? Why do you dial a phone? What dial? Where did that word come from? Did you ever dial a phone in your life? Yeah, you did.
As a kid, I had.
You're not that young? Okay. Anyway, there used to be a phone wire, so that was a shayla if you could pick up the phone wire and walk. So that they did allow. You know, there wasn't called that she's holding the phone wire. She's holding the phone, right? So maybe by extension, she's holding the wire through, and you're picking up the wire, and you want to get to the other side. But that they allowed. It's not called legeos nowadays. Basically, so again, but you shouldn't touch or lift anything that the other one, but you shouldn't touch what they're holding. They can both touch the same thing if neither one is holding it. If neither one is holding it, they can both touch it. So if you're walking with a child, they can each hold a hand of the child. Right, a man on one side, a woman on the other side, they're holding a hand of the child. Since neither of them are holding the child, they're just really touching, they're both touching the child. Neither is holding the child, so that's okay. You do have to be careful not to play swingy-swingy, which if the child is young enough, you would like to do. That already, we'll see in a moment, that you cannot do, because you can't lift something together, or push, or pull, meaning... So sometimes it becomes very problematic, especially if you take a bus or if you have to go upstairs. And really, it's usher to lift the carriage together or to push a stroller together. So there are makilin b'shas hadchak. If the shas hadchak with a carriage, you're not going to leave it downstairs for a week. Yeah. So if nobody could make it up the stairs, it's a kula. Should you ask a shayla before doing it? I don't know. I don't know what to answer you. It's something that's really awesome, but it's a chumrah that they both shouldn't carry something on opposite side. But pashtus, it's also b'shas hadchak, there are those that are makil. So that's something to keep in mind. Of course, you have to be on opposite sides to ensure that there's no idea that nobody's going to touch, they're not going to touch each other. The Achrayim are also machmir with blowing, either fanning one of them fanning the other person, or even blowing something off their garment. In other words, that would be the equivalent of touching. So if you're going to look at blowing like touching, so that's also. So that's okay. That's the first. That's the first harchaka we're dealing with, right? Touching through a garment, touching something. You know, it's all different harchakas of touching each other. Can't touch each other, not even through a garment. Can't touch what the other person's holding, right? You could touch the same thing, right? And you can't lift something together. This is all harchakas that you shouldn't come to touch one another. Okay. Yeah.
Touching the back of a chair that she's sitting on
would be mutter, b'chayim.
Did you say that if they're on opposite sides, and if it's so, there's no way you're going to touch each other, then it's okay?
Like no, I said b'shas ha'tchak. If there's no other aid, so that's what I said.
Okay.
If your wife has to get on the bus, if she has a carriage, if she can't make it, wait for someone else to help her. If they're looking at you like you're they're ready to call social services on you, so go help her.
So that wouldn't help with, in other words, you have an extraordinarily heavy object, and you're on one side, you're on the other one, and you won't feel anything.
It's technically. It's awesome.
And also,
but you know, if you really, it's a harchaka that's there, the svarim, the place to be.
Putting the pacifier in the baby's mouth without touching the baby, that's still a problem. She's not holding the pacifier; she's holding the baby.
I know, but they ask her even if she's holding a pocketbook to put something in the pocketbook. You want to know if there are any mekilin because of that? If that's your question, the answer is yes. But that's not the consensus, is that it does not happen. It's discussed. And again, you know, we can't cover every nuance. And whenever a shaila comes up and you're in a situation, you should always ask the shaila. But now, you know, in these shiurim, we have to tell you the general, what I consider to be the consensus of halacha. There's always nuances that are there.
When the Rav said these things don't apply by other erevos, that come out that if, let's say, there's a, I don't know, your mother-in-law and your wife, and you have to sit next to one of them, it's better to sit next to
them. Yeah, well, we'll get up to sitting, yeah. We'll get up to that purpose of sitting. But yes, theoretically.
I'm not sure this is the same as what Ari asked, but in other words, you have a three-year-old baby who's just coming into your arms.
Well, you know what? Let me finish the next section. A lot of baby shadows will be answered. Passing something to one another is usur. I guess this is really an extension of touching also. Passing something to one another is usur. This creates the kvater issue, right? But it's usur. You can't place something on the other one's lap. Right? You can't hand it to the other one. You can't place it on their lap. What the poskim allow is if you like hold the child and the child on its own. This is not like the legal chaynelsi asafo. This is a bapoyo. The child on its own like propels itself forward doesn't have to be into the arm. It just propels itself forward, and you're just like sort of what the Gemara in Zvachim would call a ma'isakoyf, right? You're just sitting there holding the child, so that's okay. That the place can allow.
But then you have to be careful while it's happening to make sure you don't grab. But then how are you supposed to work through that?
You mean that you don't propel the child?
Every accident involves, you know, where the baby's a little more passive, a little less. Like, how does the recipient of such a move work?
So you should be careful not to do it unless you're reasonably certain that it's done by Eifin Hamutar.
So you let the baby descend on you and then...
No. The baby doesn't have to be for a split second in mid-air.
No. I think you're in such a way that
the baby is propelling itself forward.
Yeah, but he's not going to make it across by himself. You have to do something.
Right. Where an outside observer would say he didn't hand her the child. The child went to her. I don't know, is that a sufficient rule of thumb? I would use the rule of Leinit Natara L'Malachei Asharis. If essentially that's what's happening, that the baby's propelling itself forward, so even if you, like, were Messiah, so we'll apply the rule of Messiah in Bo Mamash. Okay? You can't throw something. Now again, some permit to throw it in a way that the other person has to, from Hilchos Shabbos makes a big difference. If you throw something to someone, or if you throw something to someone in a way that the other person has to move to catch it, it's not really to the person. It's away from the person. But Lamaisa, the Poskim, again, the consensus is that it's also, there's a Malkum Kula there, but again, the consensus is that it's not to do it that way. The old ping pong and tennis issue, again, it's the same thing, it's usur, besides the Kalas Rosh angle, but it really is called that you're, right, even though you're trying to get it, I'm aware of that, right? Okay, now, what you could do, again, you get to the fine points of halacha. You could throw something into a pocketbook she's holding. You can't place it into a pocketbook she's holding, you can throw it. So getting back to the baby that she's holding, but you want to put the pacifier in the baby's mouth, l'chaira that would be no good. That would be like placing something into the pocketbook that she's holding. She's holding a pocketbook, you're placing something into the pocketbook.
But you're touching the pocketbook.
The Isser is not out touching. This is under the. This is called you're handing something one to another. So putting something into a kli that she's holding is also called that you're handing her something. Okay.
Does that include dropping it? Like, do I have to throw it and make the basket, or can I go right to the top and drop it in?
I would say you could drop it in.
With the pacifier, putting the pacifier in front of the baby, the baby kind of like sucks.
Yeah. Hey boy. Like you do with the seals in the zoo. You can't pour wine over a candle that she's holding. This might be no game amongst the Shabbos. She's holding a candle, and you are pouring wine onto that candle that she's holding. That you can't do.
Dafka didn't wine or anything.
No, anything. That's the contact that we're asking. If one of them's holding something, so you can't.
The chiddush is that the flame isn't. She's holding the flame, not the candle.
Well, yeah. Okay. You could. She could hold the havdalah candle. There's nothing wrong with her holding the havdalah candle, and you're, doing whatever you do there. But you can't. Okay.
What
are
they smelling the
summon? What?
The
summon is a particular issue that we'll get to because it's the summon. So we're gonna have to wait. Okay, we're moving on now with sitting together on the same bench. Okay. Now, actually, this is a shiloh. If the longest of it is that it's a form of intimacy, or whether it's a chashash that you'll touch each other. And the chayre, it could affect many of the nuances that we're talking about. But again, I'm presenting you with a consensus, what I feel is a consensus. So the ultimate issa, so to speak, like the worst scenario, is to sit together on a non-mechuber bench, or a non-mechuber seat, to both sit on it, and it shakes and moves. They can't sit on the same seat. the prime no-no is something that's not mechuber, something that's mistaltel, and that shakes and moves. Now, what happens if it's just mechuber and it shakes and moves? So Rav Moshe's mekel, and this, like, the most common example of this is, I guess, a car, where the seat's considered mechuber to the car. Let's say they're both sitting in the back, but yet it does shake. You do feel the movement of the other one's body, because that's the nature of the seat in the back of the car, many times. So Rav Moshe's mekel with mechuber, even if it shakes. In other words, you could sit on the same seat, but Rav Moshe's machmir, if it's movable, like a couch, if it's very movable, even if it doesn't shake, even if you don't feel the other. So Rav Moshe would not allow sitting on the same couch if it's a movable couch. See, if something's very heavy and basically sits in the same place always, because it's like a really, really heavy piece of furniture, that's called mechuber. It doesn't have to be mechuber with screws, but for these purposes, it's mechuber even if it's like something that sits there. But if it's movable, so Rav Moshe's machmir, just like he's mekel by mechuber even if it shakes, because kach gozru, so he's machmir if it's movable even if it doesn't shake, by the same token. So let me give him a maskana. I would go with the shaking. I would go with bein lechumer bein lekula. Even if it's mechuber, I'd say you should be machmir. If it's shaky, even if it's mechuber,
you should not sit in the car together on the same seat.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you feel the movement of the body, Now, there's a certain kula which I'll say in a moment, which you could maybe be even sorry. But first, I'm talking about this issue of, you can't be typhus like Rav Moshe Lekula in both ways, right? I mean, you can't do like Rav Moshe when it's mechuber and shaky, and not like Rav Moshe when it's non-mechuber, when it's non-mechuber and non-shaky, right? So I'd go with the shaky. I'd be mekel if it's not shaky, even if it's not mechuber. Because if you don't feel the body movement, I would go with that. That's going through the sources and seeing the halacha. I would say that that's the way to go. That makes a problem in a car. Well, first of all, in the front, it really doesn't. If it's bucket seats, it doesn't make a problem. Usually, no, there's different seats in the front. Two men always on the same seat. So there's a kula that some allow if there's an object placed between them, a large object, or if someone's sitting between them, it's certainly okay. So there's a kula right there, if someone's sitting. So again, we're talking about, if it's a shasat chak, and it's an uncomfortable situation, someone's giving you a right to a wedding, and they don't understand, even though they're in that situation also, so they should understand, but they don't. So it'll be Sanach and Rav Moshe. You'll be Sanach and Rav Moshe, the Shasat Chak. Sanach and Rav Moshe, the car's considered Mechuber. There's another, there's really a whole other area of Kula, which I really want to get to quickly before Mayot. Because all of this is sitting together. Sitting on the same seat, reading a book. Whenever you're traveling somewhere, if you're traveling on a purposeful trip, meaning it's not a pleasure trip, the trip is not, it's not to enjoy each other's company. And even if you're going to a wedding, which some people consider pleasurable, that's not called a pleasure trip. That's called purposeful. You have a purpose. You're traveling to get to a certain destination. Right, the pleasure that the halacha talks about that's problematic is when it's to enjoy each other's company. Right? You take a drive to look at the scenery. So let's first talk about traveling. That's ironically, you could be more mekel. Chazal were more mekel. The poskim were more mekel. when you're traveling a business trip, meaning a purposeful trip, even if you're going to a wedding, as I say, so then you could sit on one seat. So really, this takes care of the whole problem of sitting in the car if you're on the way to a chasana, so that you can both sit on the same seat. Certainly, Rav Moshe also was a tzir, because it's mechuber. So in other words, you can sit on the same seat in the back of the car when you're going to a chasana, because first of all, most poskim permit it blanketly if you're on a trip, meaning if there's a purpose to your sitting, if you're traveling. In other words, everything I talked about till now was just sitting together on the same seat. When you're traveling somewhere, there's a kula. If you're traveling for a purpose, Chazal were more makil. Poskim were makil, and they allowed you to sit. Basically, they allowed you to sit on the same seat if you're traveling, you can sit on the same seat if it's purposeful, not just for pleasure. Of course, you have to be zohar from the Gia. Remember, even beged to beged, you have to be zohar from the Gia. Now, a pleasure trip doesn't have the kula of traveling. And now there's a machlekas and a shaila and the poiskim. How far does the pendulum swing? Is a pleasure trip just like have all the regular rules without the kulas of a trip? Or is it even more chomer than the regular rules and you have to be more machmir? Now, so again, can you go with your wife? You're going in a car. You want to go look at the scenery. You want to go on a pleasure trip. So technically that's mutter. It might not be advisable, but technically the etzem trip is not awesome. Maybe in a secluded place, you take a long, romantic walk through the forest. There's no one around for miles. That should be avoided. But that's not the issue. The issue is sitting together on a pleasure trip. So again, let's say you want to go look at some scenery. You want to go for a drive. So if you don't have bucket seats in the front, right, and the seats. Certainly, if the seats move, so it's a problem, right? If the seats, so then you say, but well, maybe according to Rav Moshe, yeah. But first of all, I want to negate Rav Moshe because we're not going to go like Kimla Chumra, so we shouldn't go like Kimla Kula. I think that's more mustaver, not like the way he says it. Plus, there are machmirim on a pleasure trip that even what's normally mutter becomes also. So certainly, if it's bucket seats and you're sitting in two different seats, there's no issur. The issur is to sit on the same seat. So if you're going on a pleasure trip, so let's say you want to go on a rowboat, right? You want to go rowing together. So first of all, it's not clear at all that a rowboat is called even different seats. It's not so clear that it's called different seats. But even if it is called different seats, but again, the fact that it's a pleasure trip, you're going on a pleasure, you're going rowing, and you're not going somewhere, right? You're just enjoying it. So first of all, so that's why you have to be machmer, I feel. So again, maybe it's, you'll say, well, maybe it's not even sitting, you're not sitting on the same seat. First of all, who says it's not called the same seat? The rowboat. I'm not so sure. And even if it is, there are those that say you have to be more machmer. More machmir. So if you feel the shaking in a rowboat, you obviously feel every movement of the body. So something like that, you should really be machmir and not do. Or in an amusement park, a place you go on rides, sometimes you have that also. But you can be maker, let's say if someone's sitting, let's say in a rowboat, in a situation. So you say, well, if someone's sitting in the middle, you could certainly be maker. Because then you have, well, maybe it's not even the same seat. Maybe you don't have to be machmir by a pleasure trip. You can just apply the regular rules so that it's different seats. And certainly if someone's sitting in the middle, so you can combine these things.
Someone can be a kid also, right?
What?
Someone can be
yes,
a kid.
Yeah. Now, a kid that's a bardas, though. Someone who's a presence. It's not a question of shmira, but I mean someone who's a presence. Someone that you would say this three's a crowd. Mm. Right? Yes. Okay.
Would that be the same rule in a pleasure trip in a car? I mean, because
again,
there you have
it's
like
one
a car seat,
seat
with a baby in it.
And a hanami, that would be a mokum to be making. That would be a mokum to be
making. You're the das in that kind of case.
Right. Right. You do not, correct. It's the Paiskim say it's not a good idea. It's not also it's not a good idea to go on a, you know, like a, an intimate type of walk or drive. It's not a good idea. But technically, even the pleasure trip thing is out one seat. That's where the chumras of sitting together. In other words, this harchoka is called. We talk about touching each other, handing something one to another, sitting together. That's the intimacy, we'll call it, of this harchoka. You're sitting together. That's also the thing. You're sitting together is a harchoka you have to watch out for. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week we'll talk about the other harchokas, the beds, eating together, and serving. Stop as the other harchokas.